You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Words can inspire, words can enrage, words can move us beyond. This is Speaking of Poetry with Ms. Vernell, heard only on Talktainment Radio. Making a left turn going 25 miles per hour, my 45-year-old mama leaps from the front passenger seat, doing a tuck and roll over to the curb. A witness says she looks like a stunt woman. More proof for my 9-year-old logic that my mom is a spy. She gets mail in various last names: Singleton, White, Bristow, Johnson, making more than 20 different combinations of hyphenated surnames. Who is this woman? She is a monument of silence when I ask. Is my name really my name? Are we all in a witness protection program? We could be hiding from the law. The ghetto is a good place for that. The cops never come here. I count mama's secrets like the pennies in my piggy bank. My middle school Renaissance mission into her bedroom uncovers birth certificates for me and my siblings and mama's multiple divorce decrees from White, Bristow, Johnson. We are just ordinary poor folk. Mama is no spy, but raising 4 crime-free, highly educated kids alone makes her a magician. Hey, that was another poem I wrote about my mama. This is Ms. Vernell, and you're in touch with us on Speaking of Poetry. I've got with me one of the most, I'm going to say, celebrated, respected, honored, revered, championed poets in Central Ohio today. His name is Issed. Issed, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Sister, how you doing?
I am doing all right.
That's good.
Yes, yes, yes. So Issed, this is not your first time on Speaking of Poetry, but today we're going to talk about, well, we're always talking about you and your poetry whenever you're here, but we're also going to talk about a special event that is being planned for later this month.
Mm-hmm.
Issed, why don't you tell us about that?
Okay. It's called 40 Years of Performing Poetry. September the 8th, 1973, we did a performance in the Lincoln Theater Ballroom, and we're coming back 40 years later, and it's celebrating 40 years of poetry this next Thursday, the 7th of November, at 7 o'clock at the Lincoln Theater.
So was that your debut?
No, it was not my debut. I got started with poetry. I had a book published, and I was walking through Franklin Park, and some guys was playing drums. So they saw me with my book. They said, "You read poetry?" I said, "Yeah." So they said, "Come on, read some." So I jumped up on the bench, and I started reading poetry. And then next Sunday, we come back, and we start practicing. And then we named our group the Average Black Band.
All right.
And we start going in jazz clubs, and when they go on intermission, on break, we would do a poetry set. And our first poetry set was in a club called Larry's Up and Down. It used to be at St. Clair, Mount Vernon. And after that, we just went on all the way down to Mount Vernon Oasis, the Vernon Club, the Macon, Ivory's, the Manhattan Club. We went down a long street to my brother's place at Garfield and Long. We went to Second Scene, which is at St. Clair Long. Used to be the Skyline Hotel. So we did all the neighborhood spots. And mostly it was jazz spots.
In the King Lincoln District, that's what I'm hearing.
Yes, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it said, I got to tell you, a lot of those spots don't exist anymore.
Exactly, I know that.
Right. So a lot of your history as a poet, your early history as a poet, really coincides with that neighborhood, when that neighborhood used to be known for multiple jazz clubs and spots where people can go out and listen to live music.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, all the places that I mentioned are closed, are gone.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
I think on certain buildings you might be able to see an old sign of what used to be there.
Well, everything on Mount Vernon has changed.
Absolutely.
And Long Street. At Long and Garfield, the club there used to be my brother's place. It's still there.
Okay.
And we used to do a poetry when the people go on break at jazz. But that's about the only place because everything else is tore down or destroyed.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And so this performance you did back then in the Lincoln Theater Ballroom, that was, when was that? September the 8th?
September the 8th, 1973. And the Calling Post gave us a whole back page of the event. And that was me, Les Brown, Bernard Upshaw, and a guy named Jerry Clater. He's a martial arts guy. And that was a part of the program.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so now, 40 years later, you're bringing it back full circle, kind of.
To the same room.
Right.
Only this time it's been remodeled.
Absolutely. And I was getting ready to say that because in the 40 years since then, not only has that neighborhood changed, but the Lincoln Theater at one point closed down.
Right. It was closed then when we were in there.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
I mean, it was closed. The theater was not open.
Okay.
Not in the 73s. It closed before that.
Okay.
But we was using the second floor. Only part of the building was used was the second floor. And we was with the Hulu Dancers, and that's where we used to rehearse that in the ballroom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But at some point, didn't the building just shut down completely?
Oh, it did for about 10 years or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now it's reopened.
Right.
And you kind of bringing it back full circle.
It's amazing, ain't it?
It is amazing. And I'm going to tell you what's amazing. It said, I don't normally tell my age, but I'm only 41. So when you're talking about 40 years and September the 8th, 1973, I was like, I was just born a year and a month earlier.
But when I got started in poetry, I started writing poetry in 1969.
Yeah.
And then from 70 to 73, I went to workshops at OSU, Audubon, Wittenberg College, in Miami, Oxford, Ohio, just to see what poetry was about before I read anything. And I was in workshops most all the time.
Right, right. Wow. Well, it said, I think this is fantastic. And you're celebrating, and you're also kind of celebrating, not only is it like the 40th kind of anniversary of that moment, but your years in poetry.
Yes.
You are... have been for a long time a mover and a shaker with poetry in Columbus.
I try to get things done. Other day I was going through some pictures. Remember you said poetry the Marble Gang?
Yeah.
It was the bomb.
Yes.
Ooh,
I remember that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we had some good times at the Marble Gang. Packed house every time.
Right.
Every
time. I know. I remember that. I'm going to go ahead and let people know why I am so fond of you. Because I wouldn't be the poet I am today if it wasn't for you, it said.
You would have got there.
You think so?
Yeah, you would have got there.
Okay, maybe.
Right.
Maybe. But not the way that I did.
Well, you know, everybody needs help along the way. I got my help from... a brother by the name of Ossie Davis.
Yes.
I met him in 75, and he told me, he said, man, things might be slow now, but I'm going to give you some encouragement. Don't stop.
Yeah.
That's the secret.
Right.
Don't stop.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I know when I came to Columbus, you know, to go to graduate school at OSU, I stumbled upon a poetry reading that everyone told me to go to, and it was not a positive experience. Mm-hmm. So I didn't share poetry for months after that.
Really?
For months, yeah. And then I saw a flyer hanging up in the Frank Hellbach Cultural Center at OSU for your program, Poetry in the Winter.
Exactly.
Yeah, because not only are you in the community, you've also been in the universities and in the classrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw it. I went to the program. You were there. This is when you had the newscaster who was the MC.
Charlene Brown.
Yes, shout out to her. And I got up and I read on the open mic and you just came and started talking to me and you was like, and I was like, oh my goodness. And that's when you invited me to come out to the Marble Gang and other programs you were doing.
Right.
And I really think, I mean, while I would have kept writing poetry, it would have been longer for me getting myself out into the community if our paths had not crossed.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. And I don't even know if I ever would have, because my initial plan was to do my graduate degree and then be out of this city.
Right,
20 years later, I'm still here. But, you know, poetry has a little bit to do with that.
Poetry keeps you in your neighborhood. It keeps you in contact with the neighborhood, because that's where the poetic sounds are, in the neighborhood.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not around steel and concrete. It's around people.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it said, I really don't even know where to start here. But before I do anything, we are TalkTainmentRadio.com and our fall season premiere of new TTR programs have been added to the TTR schedule. They are The Voice of Truth and, Let's Talk About Sex. So tune in, TalkTainmentRadio.com. All right. It said, you want to share a poem?
Yes, I'll do one. It's called Chasing a Dream. And this is my definition of what life is. We plan today for tomorrow, and by pursuing that, we're really chasing a dream. Sometimes we don't know whether we're asleep or awake, so we pinch ourselves, chasing a dream. For the love of peace or pieces of love, it is a must that we all need trust and knowledge within before the time descends, chasing a dream. Men, women, boys, and girls, and all living things and beasts are here on this earth to learn how to live in peace. Crossing paths and doing tasks for ways to live and ways to give, chasing a dream. Everyone knoweth this love, where the word truth is sound, wherever God is found. Feel the heat of the sun or the touch of water in hand. The message for everyone and the message to understand, chasing a dream. Dream while you can or may, regardless of what anyone say. The life you live is yours, but love can open all doors, chasing a dream. Yearning and learning, seeking and teaching, chasing a dream, chasing a dream, chasing a dream.
All right, it's said.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yes. That has a very positive message.
It keeps my fire going. Because I'm chasing the dream.
Right. We all are.
Exactly.
We all are. And sometimes we live the dreams.
Exactly.
Exactly. And we got to chase a little more.
Sometimes you have to pinch yourself to find out if you're asleep or awake.
Yes.
You be chasing so hard.
Yeah. Yes, what is said. Oh, my goodness. To talk with you about poetry, the conversation could just go in so many different, places. You know, I was just talking about how influential you have been with me, but there are other poets. Poets could talk about the positive impact that you made on them. And their poetry and their life in their life as a poet, you know, is that just how you are, like how you was raised, or are you being intentional in that encouragement?
Well, I learned that from life, and I learned that by going to the workshops I went to. In other words, I think a person is going to get involved with poetry extremely must be very humble. Yes. To be humble, you must help others. It's not always about you. Because over the years, I hosted Poetry in the Winter, Poetry in the Spring for 14 years at OSU.
Yes.
And we use 8 poets. There's 16 poets a year for 14 years. And never use the same poet.
Right.
And half of them was from the community and half of them was from the campus.
Yes.
That's a lot of poetry.
It is a lot of poetry.
We had Native American Indians. We had Arabs. We had Indians. We had Latinos, with blacks, white, every race of people that ever walked the earth was in that series.
And I want to say too that series was, well, one, you gave me my first feature in this city as a poet, so thank you for that.
Right.
But as you were saying, you always made sure you used poets from on campus.
Right.
You used poets from the community.
Exactly.
And what that does is that brings together poets, and that kind of helps them to mix together, get to know each other, hear their work.
Right.
I think that there is somewhat of a void now. Like every now and then you'll get some college students who are poets who will find their way to local open mics in the city, but it's just a few of them.
Right,
as
right.
big as that school is,
right.
I know that there are many more poets,
right.
you know, who are on that campus who don't always make their way into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the same could be true of the other colleges in the area,
exactly.
you know, not just OSU, but, you know, Capital and
right.
Ohio Dominican and such. That program did such a good job of bringing campus and community together. Well,
that was the purpose of it, because I've talked to students that went to OSU. They'd never been to the East Side, never
yes.
come to the community. So the community went to them.
Right, 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 which is wonderful.
Exactly.
Right.
And even when we have our refreshments, we always had refreshments was like home food.
Yeah.
No pizza.
Right. Right.
We had collard greens, baked chicken,
Absolutely.
Mashed potatoes.
Like real food.
We had Jamaican food.
When I was a student at OSU, I appreciated that.
Yeah, yeah. It was something different because, and the first, I think the first or second we had 41 people to come up for open mic.
Yeah.
41
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people for
it's
open
a,
mic.
It's a lot of people. And the years after that, that open mic was never empty.
No.
Yeah.
No, always.
Yeah. Look, I'm just going to put it out there. Since you're doing this 40th anniversary show at the Lincoln Theater, maybe you might want to do a poetry in the winter or poetry in the spring, a look back or something on campus.
I would like to start it back up again if I can get the right people to help me out to put it on, because Brother Williamson at Black Studies was really instrumental in helping it get along.
Right.
Because he took care of everything. You know, in those days, a poet read for 8 minutes and got paid $100.
Yeah.
I bet you they'd be poets the rest of their life and they would never get
right.
$100. But see, this is another thing about what I try to do. Poets that I try to deal with, I like to see poets get paid.
Yes.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a stigma about poets are born not paid. We got to eat too.
You know what? And see, here's where the conversation is going now with that, just
right.
that.
Right.
And I love that about you, Issaiah, because everything that you do when you are involving other poets, you give them something.
Oh, yeah.
You always give them something.
Have to.
Absolutely. And it is shocking to me. I have this conversation with fellow poets all the time. It is shocking to me when people don't place the same value on poetry that they place on other art.
Right, right.
You know, I can't tell you how many times I have been asked to come and share somewhere, and I say, well, what's my performance fee? And there is none.
Right.
Right. You know, and so I got out of that habit a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
putting that out there,
right,
you know, because you as a poet don't put value on what you do.
Right.
It's hard to make other people put value on what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah. One time someone laughed at me when I said that, you know. You know, and so one time I did it for a friend, you know, they were trying to get their event off the ground, and I said, okay, sure, you know, and they claimed that they really couldn't, you know, afford, you know, to pay the poets, because I wasn't the only one.
Right.
But as the event unfolded and the house was packed, and I knew, because I also plan poetry events,
mm-hmm.
I know how much it costs to rent this space.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right. Yeah, expenses.
Mean, exactly. You know, I know how much it costs. You know, but there's a band and a singer. They're not there working for free. They will not.
No,
you know what I'm saying? You
no.
can right. You're not going to get a band
Mm-mm.
working for free, which is a good thing,
right.
you know, for them. And people are coming in the door paying admission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can guess. I can guesstimate what the expenses are. And I'm thinking to myself, really? That was the last time it said right then.
Right.
You can't even give me gas money, as expensive
right,
as gas
right,
is.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like that in much sensitive words, because if it's a community house or a non-paying event, I might do something. But for paying events, if you pay them, you pay me.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
I eat too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in fundraising, and
right.
I believe in, you know, charitable